man called Danny Dyer. He was on this show on BBC called Who Do You Think You Are? And what happens is they get celebrities to like trace back where they come from and their ancestors and everything. And on this particular episode, he found out that he was related to Edward III. Wow. And if you pay attention in history, you know he was a king of England. And so I turned to my family after watching this, and I was like, wow, like I want to trace back my family tree. Imagine if I was like royalty, I'd be untouchable and everything. And then my sister Esther, she always has a Bible verse for everything. And then she turned to me and she said, you're part of King Jesus's family. And as much as I hate to admit it, she was right. And it got me thinking, with me basically being royalty, what true power do I have in this position? So if we can turn to Romans 8, verse 11, please. Okay, it says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. So the key part of this verse that I want to repeat is that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is within us. Raise your hand if you need a true revelation of what this actually means. Yeah, all of us. So let's get started. Okay, so first of all, let's look at what the power of God actually allows us to do. So first of all, it means that we're no longer reliant on our own strength, and that we're not limited by what we can do or how far we can go. For example, when I was asked to speak today, I was like, I can't do it, I'm going to stutter, who am I to preach and everything? But I just felt God saying, like, it's not through your own strength that you're going to be doing this, it's just me talking through you. And God has given us the power to do amazing things. And during my study, I found a lot, but for time's sake, I'll only say a few. But I encourage you guys to go home and like really study this, because it's really amazing. So the first thing I came across is the power to serve others and to teach. This means that no matter what situation we're in, how underqualified we feel or even overqualified, God has given us something that we can offer to serve others. And as Pastor Joe often says, we're called to follow Jesus, and Jesus was a leader. And so we must develop servant leadership like him. The second point I had was to do signs and wonders. And if we turn to Acts 4, verse 30, please. It says, stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Right. Now, we need to learn that we don't have to be Jesus to do these signs and wonders. Early in the Bible, it actually even said that we'll be able to do greater works than Jesus did. And this particular verse doesn't say that we should read about signs and wonders being done. It doesn't say we should watch about them being done either. It says we should actually go out and do them. In my Bible study, I also found that often when Jesus was telling other people to go out, he would say, go and do these signs and wonders, and then tell people that the kingdom of God is here. So they kind of go hand in hand. So we need to carry this power. And the final point I have is the power to overcome. If we turn to Luke 10, verse 19, please. Thank you. It says, look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. You can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. This is one of my favourites because it basically means that we may have little battles that we have to face day in and day out, but overall we won the war, and God has given us the power to get through everything and anything that comes across our path. And we will not only surpass it, but we will conquer it on top of that. Now, we now need to see how we can allow this power to work through us. And before I get into it, it's important to understand that God has given us this power by his own grace, and it has nothing to do with our own efforts or our works. However, we do need to develop a character which makes it easier for God to pour out his power through. This comes by believing. Believing that God gives power and that we are able to obtain this power. Let me give you an example in Mark 6, verse 5. It says, "And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any mighty miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them." Obviously, healing is an amazing thing, but the fact that their unbelief was so powerful that it stops God's power from working shows how dangerous it can be. We need to be able to understand God's power and ask him to renew our minds so that we can have a greater understanding of it. And no matter how great the power of God is, if we don't believe it, we can't receive it and we can't release it into this world. The second point is having a connection to God. Now, it's like expecting your phone to charge but not actually plugging it into the wall. You know, how is the power going to get to your phone? And it's the same thing with God. We need to be connected with him. And connecting to God allows us to carry his presence and create an environment in which God's power can dwell in. Let me repeat that again, because people were sleeping. So, connecting with God allows us to carry his presence and create an environment in which God's power can dwell in. Amen. To stay connected with him, we need to be constantly meditating on his word, expressing praise, being quick to repent, speaking in tongues, and praying. Prayer holds power in itself. In fact, Jesus would often retreat away from large crowds to go and pray and reconnect with his Father and to recharge. And the last point I have is submission. We have to come to a place of submission, and submission often to the world is associated with weakness. Like we don't know where we're going, so we have to follow others. But something associated with weakness in the world gives us access to the truest form of power. And if this power is enclosed in stubborn flesh, it will never be able to be released as Jesus intended. If this great power is enclosed in a stubborn flesh, it will never be able to be released as Jesus intended. Take Jonah, for example. He was a man who never truly surrendered to God's will, and God had to put him in the belly of a fish because he knew that this trait was so dangerous. One way Jesus made power a key trait of his character was by surrendering his own will and acting as a vessel for God to pour out his power. In John 5, verse 30, it says, "I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just, because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will." For example, it's like someone being sick over there, and you hear God telling you, go and pray for them, go and pray for them, they need healing. But you're like, no, 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 I'm okay. And then, you know, that's the missed opportunity, A, for you to see God's power working through you, and B, for that person to see God's power working on them. And this makes submission all the more important. So now we know what the power of God is, we know what it allows us to do, and we know how we can develop a character that allows us to allows the power to work through us. But this isn't enough. We need to take it a step further. I remember that God didn't give us this power for nothing. In Luke 9, verse 1, Jesus basically tells his disciples, look, you've been following me long enough. I give you the power to go out and cast demons, heal the sick, and preach. This means we need to go out and share this power in order to represent the true character of God. I was watching a sermon the other day, and the preacher was saying how one of the most dangerous things Christians can do is come to church or read their Bible and remain unchanged, because it just makes it easier for you to do it the next time and the time after that, and it becomes a habit. So, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 19 to 20, okay, I think I have the wrong verse. But anyway, I'll read it out. It says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. This means in order to represent this kingdom, we need to be fully committed to walking and living in this power. So let's see how we can live in this power and what living in this power actually looks like. So Jesus was a man who fully understood the power and dominion that Jesus gave him. That God gave him. Jesus healed the sick, calmed the sea, stopped the wind, raised the dead, and even multiplied food. We need to exercise this power and authority that God has given us and take responsibility of every situation and allow God's power to work through them. And I'll give you an example of my own life. So when I was a child, I was very adventurous, and most of the children, they'd just like scrape their knee or fracture their arm, but I went all out and I decided to break my femur, which is the biggest bone in the human body. And as you can imagine, I spent a long time in hospital, and my grandma used to visit me like very regularly, and she would tell me to always repeat, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Every day. And I used to think, like, why is this woman making me sweat out this Bible verse? Like, it's really not that deep. And then it wasn't until I got older that I realized that she was teaching me how to take authority of my situation. And, like, and to invite, declare the Lord's power over it and not just to let it pass by. We often belittle the power of God to make it suitable for our lives, but we need to stop doing this, because Jesus did power and he did it big. Now, I want you to close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to just imagine what it would be like if every single Christian moved in with the power and authority in which God intended us to. Now I want you to take the time to see yourselves walking, breathing, and living in this power. And as we do this, I want to remind you that the same power that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead dwells in you. Not a modified power, not a reduced power, but the same power. And I pray that this power of God will become a key trait of your character, and you will learn to love and live through this power.